Notebook, I suggest you write your name in your notebook because there's a lot of notebooks going around. If anyone would like a pen, these are some of the pens that we're working on for next month's pens for Yeshiva. You're welcome to take, you're welcome to have if you want to keep it, but try not to lose them. They're for use. If you want to leave it in this Gamach box, this is a special Shir Gamach box, which we're happy to leave here. Starting Maseches Sukkah, it's a very, very special Masechta. Every Masechta is exciting, but Sukkah has something unique to it. That when you learn Maseches Sukkah, it's something that you can relate to. Now, it's important to realize that the reason why we learn is not because something is going to be relevant to me. In other words, we learn Maseches Kiddushin, it's kemat not relevant. You have a Masada Kiddushin, he takes care of everything. You learn Maseches Gittin, and that doesn't necessarily ever going to be relevant to you. Maseches Yevamos, and then there's Maseches that are mamish not relevant at all. There's actually entire limudim that the Gemara tells us Nivra. the whole sugya of Mansur Meira is, so why do we write it? Joishim Makabel Schar, which means we wrote it in order that you should learn it. So what do I see? Learning is not in order that I should be able to know what to do. That's not the point. The point of learning is not, you know, some people say, like, why are we learning this Gemara? There's nothing, it's never going to happen. No, that's the point. The point is that Torah is not meant to just be a halacha book and tell you, and we're supposed to try to get down to the halacha. That's not the whole purpose of Torah. And the Beis Halevi writes it out of Be'arichus, that Klal Yisrael, when they said, Na'ase v'nishma, that's really what they were highlighting. They're highlighting that, I'll do it, and then I'll learn. Well, if you're already doing it, what do you have to learn for? I thought you're only learning to know what to do. No, that's not why we learn. We learn, and because the learning itself has is itself a ideal, is itself the end. It's just the learning, the dveikus that happens through learning, or whatever it is exactly about the learning. We're not going to discuss that right now. But at the same time, when you do learn something that you can relate to or incorporate in your life, so there is an added dimension. Now, the dimension that I want to talk about is not the fact that we're going to know what to do, but the dimension is that now that your learning can become something that you could talk about, like you're going to Beis Hashem, this sukkah, you can have a different sukkah. And I can pretty much guarantee that if you really apply yourself to this masechta, your sukkah will be different. You're going to be hacking about the sukkah, you're going to go try to be, get a package from someone in the Waldorf, and you're going to be in the sukkah and say that, Luya, hey, you would eat here for a meal, would you be allowed to sit in the sukkah or not? Because is the sukkah kosher? Is it not kosher? It's the Malam Esrim. Is it good asik, good achis? Is it working with Doif and Akuma? Is it puzzle? Because anyway, there's because you know the things in the sukkah you're not allowed to be in the sukkah with. So there's different issues, or whatever the problem is in the sukkah. Is that a kosher sukkah? But don't think the other sukkahs and other hotels are better. There's a whole shayla of the sukkah. I am in this. If I'm not mistaken, I had a friend that is from Nassanal Tester. I think it's his. I don't know if it's his brother-in-law. No, his cousin. His cousin. They used to get their own sukkah because they felt the sukkah in the citadel was questionable. They're nailing down the sukkah. Is nailing down the sukkah good? It's put up by someone who's not from. Is that good? Is this all the mechilos and you're going to get into discuss the sukkah? It's move a kibin bayis. Is it too much tzeil? Is it not enough tzeil? And you sit there and things are going to come up and it becomes part of just like your conversation. And that's an amazing thing where Torah can be your conversation. Kol ha'yoyim hisi chasi. Halavai we could do that in Baba Kama and Baba Basra and in all the other limudim that we do, but over here it's so much easier. A person's going to, Beis Hashem, pick out a lulav, and hopefully you're going to really master the other part of the Masechta, the second half of the Masechta. It was talking about dinam of lulav and esrig and hadas and arova and niktam and what exactly, how big of a shir and kedei l'naneya and what's the and how does it work and is it yavesh and the first day and the other days, and it could become like your whole like the sukkahs can be a discussion about, you know, is this a good lulav, is it a good esrog, how should we do it, and different things, and all this it can become something that a person lives his learning. Not the pshat, because now you know how to live, it's that you can live your learning. And I think that that's a very big mile that we have in Maseches Sukkah. And it's an opportunity that we have if we really not just learn Masechah Sukkah, but we retain Masechah Sukkah. We make sure that Masechah Sukkah stays with us. Sometimes people learn, and they actually enjoy the learning, and that's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to enjoy your learning. It's an important thing, enjoy your learning. But if a person retains his learning, so then his learning stays with him. And it's not just that his relationship with learning is not just that I enjoy it, but it's something that it's going to change me as a person. That only happens if this learning stays with him. There's one bechina of learning, which is lulei soroscha sha'ashuai ozavadati ba'anyi, which is Torah is like it's enjoyable. Sha'ashuai means it's like my delight. So a person's going through a rough time. So what does he do? So some people go to the bottle, and they're going to be in trouble because that's not going to end well. What happens? Ozavadati ba'anyi. I'm dealing with a lot of stress. I got trouble. So what do I do? So some people go to the bottle. Lulei soroscha sha'ashuai. Some people go to Torah. And Torah is enjoyable. It's their delight. Torah is Hashem Timima Meshivas Nofesh. Where does it say that? Where do we see that? Anyone remember? Gemara Kedushin? Where? Beis on the Beis. The Gemara says, because Torah is Nikras Isha, right? Torah is Lashon Nekeva. So the Marsha, because Torah just like a person gets married, he has hopefully a certain menuchas nefesh. Also, when he learns, Torah Hashem Temima, Meshivas Nefesh. It creates calm. So that's what David HaMelech said, Luli Sorosko Sha'ashuai Ozavarati. It's just enjoyable to learn Torah. But then it's just a question of what Torah does for you in the moment. There's another thing about Torah, which is the Torah that it becomes a part of you. And a person retains his Torah, the Torah stays with him. That's something where that Torah is going to change you as a person forever. And that is a tremendously large element of Torah, which Rabbi Yosef spoke about. Rabbi Yosef, that the famous Gemara, Rabbi Yosef said before Shavuos, I want you to prepare for me very special delicacies. I want to make a very elaborate feast. Because Ilav Hayoima, Kama Yosef Ika Bishuka. There's an interesting thing. I don't know where the source for this thing is. There's a saying, he's just a regular Joe. I wonder if it's from the Gemara. I don't know. But the Gemara, he says, Ilav Hayoima Kama Yosef Ika Bishuka. There's so many Joes in the street. Yosef, his name was Yosef. He'd be a regular Joe if it wasn't for the Torah. Now, there's a beautiful idea that Kilas Yitzchak brings down is the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef actually got sick. And when he got sick, he forgot all of his learning. And the Gemara says that his Talmidim actually had to remind him of what he said. He didn't remember. He got so sick that he lost his memory. So Rabbi Yosef had nothing left from his Torah. So what's he so excited about Shavuos? The answer is because his Torah changed him as a person. It made him a better person. It made him a more sensitive person. It made him a more kind person. It made him a more spiritual person. Torah changes you. So Enoch Hanami, he doesn't right now, can't recall the Torah, but the Torah became a part of him, and that when the Torah became a part of him, Rashi says, because Harbe Torah Lamaditi V'Nisroi Mamti. Mashkiach speaks about it often. Nisroi Mamti is I was elevated through the Torah. The Torah lifted me up. So it's not just the Torah is something good to like get you through the day, that the person can deal with his sorrows, but Torah can change you as a person. In order for that to do that, the Torah really has to become a part of who you are. And that makes a person, makes a kinyan in Torah. So as we're learning together as a chabura, I think that we're gonna try to make sure that we have both of these things. One is we're gonna try to make sure it's gishmak, that the learning is gonna be gishmak. It's gonna be something that we mamash look forward to. And you know, I know myself, sometimes ben ezmanim, I struggle sometimes with my emotional balance. Because I'm not learning as much as I learned during this month. I feel like there's a void. I feel like I'm missing something. Torah is my pick me up. Torah is it's my vice. If I have a vice, my vice is Torah. And if I don't have Torah in my life, it's not as enjoyable. So we want to make Torah that gishmak that we mamish can. It's our high for the day. But we also want to make that the Torah isn't just entertainment. Torah is also something that's going to elevate us and it's going to change us as people. And all of us can work slowly on changing ourselves. Everyone can do it and can become a better person. In order for that to happen, then it has to be that you're really internalizing the Torah. Now, sometimes people go to a shiur and they sit there at the shiur and they listen. Like often like a shmooze. You go to a shmooze, you sit there and you listen. And that's it. You don't necessarily take notes. I personally take notes by shmoozim also, because sometimes there's something in a shmooze that I really want that it should be carved and etched into my neshama. So I write while I'm writing. I'm hoping that that facilitates that it'll be more permanent for me. And also, I keep my notes and I try to look back at them. I reflect on my notes. Sometimes I compare notes. I add notes. I do a lot of writing in order that it should be something that's. But even a person goes to a shmooz and just sits there and then listens to the shmooz. Often that's good because the shmooz gives you the right, puts you in the right frame of mind. It makes you, you know, it's a feeling that a person has. But when it comes to learning Gemara, so a person needs to make a kinyan in the Gemara. He needs to have notes. And this is not like some sort of newfangled idea. It's not something that we made up. It's not for the Shvach Hadar. It's even before, in the times of the Tanoim even. The Tanoim said, Ashrei mi, sheba lekan v'talmudo biyadoi. What does that mean? They said, who praises the one who comes to Shemayim and he has his Talmud in his hands. Who has their Talmud in their hands? You have your Talmud in your head. What does it mean, your Talmud in your hand? Says the Marsha. What does it mean? He wrote notes. So the Gemara says, Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'talmudo biyadoi. The Gemara means you have to write notes. Write notes. You don't write notes. So then you get to Shemayim and you're like, you don't have anything. By the way, when you get to Shemayim, just letting you know, on the test, they let you use your notes. So you get to Shemayim, they're going to say, what did you learn? You're going to be nervous as anything. And be 1 second. And you're going to check your notes. You're going to be good. Reb Shach left the Tzava. He should be buried with his Svarim that he wrote. They buried with him. He wanted his Svarim in the kever with him. He wanted his notes with him in the kever. Ashrei mi, shebo lekan v'talmudo biyadoi. We're zoiche, we had a tremendous koyach in Klal Yisrael. His name is Reb Elie Baruch Finkel. Reb Elie Baruch passed away at a young age. And there's nothing. There's nothing left. Other than his notes. And his notes right now are making a tremendous splash in the Olam HaTorah. Everyone's loving his notes. They're loving his form. And I remember when he was alive, he said, this is my Yerusha for my children. This is what I'm leaving over. He had closets and closets of notes. He wrote so much notes because he said, this is going to be here when I'm gone. And it is. There's no Shir anymore. But this is Reb Elie Baruch. He's going to be with us for eternity because of his notes. And a person can take notes, and it could stay with him forever. And I think that that's an extremely important part of the steiging that we're going to do together, is taking notes. And we were trying to have this man. We had a plan for this man. It's going to be a very intimate type of matzah. I've been together with some of the chevra here for a little while already. And we're looking forward to shrinking the shir. We sent some other boys to other places, and there's a bunch of people left. It's, you know, it'd be really nice. A nice, intimate chabura where the Olam already is talking the same language. We know each other for a little while. We're learning together. And we're going to have like this more of a chabura. And I was very excited about that. But being that I'm not in charge here, somehow that dynamic seems to be changing a little bit. It's not going to be as small as we had originally intended it being. It's still not going to be something that's going to be beyond our capability of dealing with, but it's still going to be a little bit larger. Now, in order for us to do that in a way that it's going to be successful, we really need everyone to be on the same page. In other words, I'm not prepared to sacrifice all of the wonderful advantages that we were going to have of being that small, intimate chabura for people that are just coming because they feel like they're interested in having an enjoyable experience. But our shir has two elements. It hopefully will be an enjoyable experience. I'm hoping we're going to have a good time together. We tend to do that. But it also has to be one where a person's making kinyan and together with us. Or else they're just going to slow us down. Because as Sukkah moves on, we're going to see there's a lot of the ideas in Sukkah, which we'll talk about this morning, Beis Hashem, Mechitzos, Defanois, Schach, Tzel, these things repeat themselves. And because they repeat themselves, if a person is not really holding strong enough, so then he's gonna disrupt, and it's going to bring everything else down. So right here, we're going to be swimming in deep water. And swimming in deep water means you have to be prepared to swim. If you're not prepared to swim, so then it's either sink or swim. Now, the reality is, if a person has a cramp, he should not be swimming in deep water. Is it his fault that he has a cramp? Not necessarily. If he's extremely exhausted for whatever reason, he shouldn't be swimming in deep water. Is it his fault that he's extremely exhausted? Not necessarily, but he shouldn't be swimming in deep water, right? Someone who is exhausted should not be swimming in deep water because it's dangerous. And it's the same thing when it comes to our chabura. There are people that say, look, I have this issue, I can't sleep at night, so therefore I'm not going to be consistent. I feel bad for you, and I hope that we find a good doctor or a good medicine or a good cheer. But this is not the place. Regardless of whether it's your fault or not your fault. And if a person says, I get stomach aches on every once in a while, or I have whatever their issues might be. This is not in any way a condemnation of who you are. It's a metzius. You don't belong in deep water. You belong in, you could swim and you could but swim where you're not going to drown. And but over here, it's not something that's going to be, because we're not making this shallow water. This is deep water. This is where we are, and people in deep water have to be able to be in the condition to be able to swim. Same way a person's playing in the major leagues, if he gets hurt, you put him down to the minors, not because he did anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong, but you're hurt. The fact is, you're hurt. That's why you don't belong here. You're not on the roster. You're on the team. You're just not on the roster anymore. So that I want to make it clear that that's what we're expecting over here from everybody, to give 110%. It is going to be a little bit more of a chabur type of situation in the way that I expect to be giving more 3 times a week than 4 times a week or 5 times a week, which I did last month, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. If anyone has things that he has to take care of during a shiur time, so he should find, make sure that it doesn't in any way conflict with what we're doing. We're starting at 12:15 sharp, which means 12:20. That's what it means. We're starting 12:15 sharp, which is 12:20. But later than 12:20, because we want to get, we have a lot of things to discuss, and there is a lot of discussion that happens during the course of the chabura and the shir. So, studying it later than that is not going to be effective. So, Beis Hashem with Siyata Dishmaya, I'm very much looking forward to doing Masechta Sukkah. There's a lot of very interesting concepts, which we're going to start talking about now. I'm just going to open up things today a little bit. Some of the members of our chabura are not yet back, or are not yet here, so we're just going to start things off. There are concepts here in Masechta, which are mechitzas and defanus. Mechitzas and defanus are perhaps synonyms, but perhaps there are no synonyms really in Lashon Kodesh. Because why would you have two words that mean the same thing? I don't even know. It's hard to find two words even in English that are exactly the same. We tried doing that. But a synonym means it's similar, but it's not identical. So the mechitzas and defanos are not really the exact same thing, but they're similar. A mechitza is something that divides, and a doifen is a wall. I would like to give, and we'll see exactly how similar and how different. I think it might be Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. If I'm not mistaken, Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik is from Boston. He is the son of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So he has a sefer on Sukkah, which perhaps we'll be referencing here and there. So he I think, says Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. And I think that, but on the simple definition, mechitzos are really to keep things out. Mechitzas are really for the outside, and defanas are for the inside. What do I mean? A person's davening. So if there's women there, what do you have to put up? Mechitza. It's to keep the women out. That's what a mechitza is for. If there's no women there, you don't need mechitzas. There's no need for mechitzas. Mechitzas is really to separate, it's to get something away from you. Defanas aren't necessarily to keep anything out. The defanos are really for inside, in order to create that there is a bias, a bechino of bias. A bias has a doifen. Doifen is a wall. Now, when we come to sukkah, it could be there's two dinim. It could be sukkah has to function as a mechitza and as a doifen. It could be that the doifen of sukkah is primarily to be a mechitza. But these are the languages, the noisim that we're going to speak about here is mechitzas and defanas. And then there's defanas and schach. A doifen is a wall. Schach is in a certain way also a wall. In what way? we'll see that there's a concept called Paritz and Oymed. A wall doesn't need to be solid wall all the way through. How much wall do you need? How much wall do you need? Right, but within those three walls, how much wall? In other words, you could have a window, you could have a door, you could have an opening. How much wall do you need in order for this can be considered a doifen? That's high. How wide? What? Let's say you have a sukkah that's 20 amas long. 4 amas of a wall is enough? It's not. It has to be roiv or something like roiv. Okay, that's called paritz and oimid. Paritz means open. Oimid means that it's closed. So you need a lot of wall. You don't need the entire wall. And then it depends on also which walls. There's different walls. The shnaim kilchas and shlishas afilu tefach. In other words, in theory, you can only have three walls and you're good. And even on the third wall, you don't need the whole wall, but the first two walls need to have at least oimid meruba ala paritz. There's a machloikis, if it's exactly 50-50, we're not going to get into that right now. You need a lot of wall. How much schach do you need? Similarly, you need a lot of schach. How much? More than 50. Or we'll see what 50 is. Same. It's almost the identical thing. Because the ceiling also, your schach also functions kind of as a wall. Especially if we're thinking of a house. Think of your sukkah as your house. Are you familiar with a house without a wall, without walls? No, there's no such thing as a house without walls. Is there such a thing as a house without a roof? Also not. So the schach is a functioning as your house. So therefore, the schach is also a form of daifen. I'm going to call it a form of daifen. That's what we're going to call it. There is a discussion, I don't know if we'll get into it all, what about the floor? Is the floor also part of your daifen? Is a shaila if your walls are muktzah? Is the floor going to be muktzah? Are you allowed to do work on the floor? Whatever that might be. I'll call upon him. But schach is not just a daifen. Schach has another element to it. The walls can be made out of what? Anything aside for Rabbi Shia. But according to most people, can make out of anything. And the walls can be keva. The walls can be, they can be solid walls. The schach has to be made out of psoilis goren v'yekev. And the schach also has to be, has to be arai. So the schach is not a regular daifen. And then you have something which is the discussion about tzel. Tzel is shade. The schach is not necessarily synonymous with tzel. Schach might be something that makes tzel, perhaps. But the tzel is, whether you need the tzel itself, the shade, the lush of the pasuk is sukkah tiyat letzel. Or what does sukkah mean in general? So there's many different components that we have here of sukkah. Now there is a connection between your defanois and your schach. For example, what happens if you have walls, but your schach is disconnected from your walls? Is that going to work? What?
Possibly.
It depends how disconnected. Let's say it's totally disconnected. No. Even if you have walls. The way you would do that is, let's say somehow you're hanging schach in the middle of your sukkah. Your schach outside of your sukkah. So your schach is in here, your defanos are out there. So you have defanos and you have schach. And your schach might even be tilsum or mechamsa. But they're not touching your walls. Is that going to work? No. Your walls also have to touch. And some people aren't so aware of that. That's why it's a little tricky. I tell people, don't play games with your walls, because your walls also should be touching. At least Shtaim Kel Chasan, Kimin Gam. They have to be touching your walls. This is all kind of like a part of a structure. And if they're not connecting, then we don't see them as being all part of one unit. So I want my Defanois and my Schach to be connected. Schach is not just a Doifen. It's more than just a Doifen. A Doifen might not just be a Mechitza. It might be more than a Mechitza. And the Tzel is another element. So we're going to discuss all of these things that are going to come up Beis Hashem, Etziat Dishmaya, during the course of the first parak. Now, the first parak starts with the halachas of sukkah. The Achronim asked the question, why are we starting with mitzvahs sukkah and not with mitzvahs arba minim? I will give you three good reasons why to start with mitzvahs arba minim. Three reasons. Reason number one, and this is perhaps the most compelling. When the Torah writes the mitzvahs? Does anyone know where the Torah writes the mitzvahs of Dalet Minim and of Sukkah? Which parasha? Does anyone know? Which parasha we write about it? This week's parasha. This week's parasha speaks about the Sukkos Teshuva Shivas Yamim. So first the Torah writes about the Arba Minim, and then the Torah writes about Sukkah. So what do I see? Which one does the Torah put first? Arba Minim. Which one? So which one should we put first in the Mishnah? Arba Minim. Lechura. Azayfrek the Aruch Laner. Aruch Laner has a question. He brings another question. He says that usually the Gemara likes to do whichever one is the shorter list, the Gemara likes to do first. Which one has less halachas? Because that way you get it out of the way. Do that first, and then whatever is like going to be more elaborate, then you could like save that for last. So Dalet Minim has less halachas. Do Dalet Minim first, and then afterwards you get into all the elaborate halachas of Sukkah. Those are the two questions. But there's a third question, which I would like to ask, which is as follows. If a person had a choice, and he could only do one mitzvah, what's an example? The example is he's in jail. And they allow him to go out, they say you could do one mitzvah. Which mitzvah should he choose? Sukkah or Dalet Minim? Which mitzvah? He could only do one of them. So the Chochma Shleima says Dalet Minim. Why? He says Dalet Minim has an element of Pirsume Nisa to it. Which means that there's an element because you're celebrating the fact of your lulav is kind of like your sword, and it's like you're celebrating Didon Notzach. What? It's interesting. It's interesting that he said, no, it's the man yedu dora seichem. It sounds like it's also
it's more
yeah.
like a zecher, no?
Yeah, but the man yedu dora seichem. So it sounds like there is a certain presuming nisim involved. It's an interesting point. Okay, I'll show you. Belina, I'll show you tonight the chachma shleima. He says you should do dalet minim. So which mitzvah would you say is a more potent mitzvah? Which mitzvah is the bigger mitzvah? Dalet minim. So which one should come first? Dalet Minim. So we got three reasons why Dalet Minim should come first. It's first in the Torah, and it's the small. It has less details, and it's the most chashuv. The Chochma Shlomo says, "Do you know why we put Dalet Minim before Sukkah in the Torah?" Chochma Shlomo says, "Why? Because it's more chashuv. That's why we put it first. So if the Torah put it first for that reason, why don't we put it first for that reason?" Yeah. So, the Aruch Laner. Why do we call it Sukkos? It should be called Chag HaLulav. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm going to try to answer that also. Okay, I'll try. Siyat Dishmaya. See if I can. I'm going to work on it. Okay, might take till tomorrow. Akoponim, Rabbi Yoshev says, and this is the Aruch Laner. Basically, says Rabbi Yoshev just elaborates on this beautifully. He says the following thing. He says that Sukkos really has two mitzvahs. There's two mitzvahs when it comes to Sukkos. One mitzvah to Sukkos is sitting in a sukkah. The other mitzvah, when it comes to sukkah, is building a sukkah. A peladik chiddush. There's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. He brings a mechilta, a she'iltis. The she'iltis says, chayovin beis Yisrael le'meved matlalta. Which means you have to make a sukkah. Le'meved means to make, matlalta is a sukkah.
So if you go away,
you're not mekayim the mitzvah.
From here,
we see every person should build We're going to get there. Every person should build a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. There's another mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. All of those that go on sukkahs programs. So they're not building a sukkah. You're supposed to build a sukkah. And he says there's a mitzvah. The Hamik Shaila says, the Hamik Shaila is the Netziv, says, Yesh mitzvah ba'asiya sukkah. And he brings two different psukim. He says the mechilta brings, Shiltos brings two psukim. One pasuk is chag asukas tasilacha. The other one is shivas yam teshvu basukas. The mitzvah of shivas yam teshvu basukas is the mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. And chag asukas tasilacha is the mitzvah to Make a sukkah. Tase, build your, make your sukkah. Sukkah in two mitzvahs. Pilei ploim. Two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to build your sukkah. So, we're going to show rise to this, but first let's get to the, I'm going to go straight to the punch. The punchline is, so which mitzvah comes first? Mitzvahs lulav or mitzvah sukkah? What? It's a sukkah. Why? When do you build a sukkah? Erev Yom Tov. So because that mitzvah comes first, so the Gemara is coming to show you in order of the Seder of the mitzvahs. This mitzvah comes first. Therefore, it writes mitzvah sukkah verse. Now, in theory, you didn't even have to say this chiddush, truth be told. It's very fancy chiddush, and I love it, and we're going to talk about it now. But I could have said that sukkah comes first for a different reason. Why does sukkah come first? Because you eat it at night. The sukkah, the lulav, you're only doing the next day. Sukkah you're doing at night. So I could have just, Stam said sukkah comes first. You don't really need this fancy chiddush.
Binyan
sukkah or the... No, I don't need the chiddush of binyan sukkah. I could have said the mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah. And I said the sukkah at night. You don't take lulav at night. And the main mitzvah of sukkah is at night. Because at night, well, a person has to sit in a sukkah. What happens if it's raining at night? To wake to make kiddush, and if it's still raining, what do? Make kiddush in the sukkah, even though it's raining. You have to sit in a sukkah the night of. So that's why I was. That's enough reason. But Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yoshev and the Orech Laner are being megala to us a Mardik Azach. That there's a mitzvah in the Asiyas HaSukkah. He brings that the Yushalmi says that there's a bracha on building a sukkah. What's the bracha? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu al asiya sukkah. There's a mitzvah. So you make a bracha. It's a little strange that Yushalmi doesn't make a bracha. That the Bavli doesn't make a bracha. Because if there's a mitzvah sukkah, so fashteitzach we should make a bracha. But I understand the Yushalmi. Why don't we make a bracha halacha that we're going to talk about in a second. But Rabbi Yoshev says there's a mitzvah of building a sukkah. And he says it's meduyik in Rashi. In the Bible. Why? Because the Gemara is talking about over here the following thing. If a person kills someone accidentally, what's the halacha? Goes to galus. Now what happens if he killed someone accidentally, but what he was doing was not doing for himself? The Gemara says you're only chayiv if what you're doing is the classic case of a person of killing someone by accident. What's the classic case? Chopping wood, and the handle of the wood or the head of wood flies off and he hits someone. It says only if he's chopping a malachas rishus. He's working for himself. Wants some wood for firewood. What happens if he's doing malachas mitzvah? Not for himself. Then he's not chayiv galus. Says Rashi, what would be a case of malachas mishnah? Says the Gemara. What about if he's chopping wood for a sukkah, which is a mitzvah? Says the Gemara. Kivan de'imatza chotzuf. Being that if he would found it already chopped, lav mitzvah, ashnami, lav mitzvah. Says the Gemara, if he found wood chopped already, does he have to chop wood? No. So if the wood's already chopped, it's not. So then the chopping is not a mitzvah, says Rashi. Listen to this beautiful Rashi. Ein hachativa mitzvah, ela asiyas sukkah. Ein hachativa mitzvah. The chopping is not the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The building. So Rashi is not saying that you don't have to build a sukkah. Rashi is saying you should build a sukkah, but you don't have to chop wood to build a sukkah. You just have to build a sukkah. But what do I see from Rashi? Building a sukkah is a mitzvah. So now we have the question. So if it's a mitzvah, Taka, so why don't we make a bracha?
Is it considered a sukkah before Yom Tov? Before Yom Tov started, it's just
a... It doesn't have a Shem sukkah, you mean? So you can't make a bracha on it?
No, meaning to say that, besides for the second answer of...
Yeah.
That the mitzvah lulav is by day.
Right.
The etzim, your mitzvah, your chiyuv mitzvah lulav, and when your sukkah became a sukkah happened at the same time. What happened once you had to start?
No, you have a chiyuv to build a sukkah beforehand.
But it's not a sukkah.
You have a chiyuv to build it.
We said asiyah sukkah. We didn't say
the building. It's the building.
Asiyah.
That's a building.
Which then becomes a sukkah.
Your obligation of doing something is before Yom Tov. You don't have an obligation on Yom Tov to make it into a sukkah. If you're right, that doesn't have a Shem sukkah, which I'm not sure, but let's say you're right. But you have to build a structure that's gonna. You have a mitzvah before Yom Tov to do this.
And why by a sukkah is it a mitzvah, not a hechsher mitzvah?
So we're gonna see that in a second. We're gonna get there in a second. Okay, right now. Says Rav Yashiv, that in a chanami there's a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is a hechsher mitzvah. He's saying a very deep idea. Most mitzvahs is a mitzvah in and of itself. The mitzvah of sukkah, however, is a mitzvah to do a hechsher. The mitzvah is a mitzvah to do a hechsher. The Torah highlights the hechsher, but in the end of the day, it's not more than a hechsher. I'll bring out what I mean is as follows. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, who is the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashiv, brings an interesting tshuva in the Sefer Nefesh Chaya from Reuven Margolis, which is as follows. Let's say there's a person who the doctors tell him that he will not live till Sukkos. Or, what happens if there's a person who is going to be executed before Sukkos? Those are the cases he's talking about. I would like to talk about a third case, which I think might be even a better case, perhaps. Let's say there's a person who cannot sit in a sukkah. It's too cold. Sukkah's too cold. He's very weak. It's too cold. Should he build a sukkah? Should he build a sukkah? He's not going to sit in it. Either he's going to be dead, or he's going to be dead. But he's not. The presuminis is the sitting in the sukkah. It's not the building in the sukkah. Kibshutai. The mitzvah sukkah. This presuminis is the sitting in the sukkah. If there's presuminis, kibshutai say shavti es bnei Yisrael. Should he build the sukkah? What do you say, Toivi?
Seemingly not. I'm saying.
Based on where he's going with this.
He's for sure not going to sit in the sukkah. So that's why I'm not so comfortable with the case of Reuven Margolis, because just because doctors say he's going to die doesn't mean he's really going to die. And just because they say they're going to execute him, maybe they won't execute him. But in a case when he's sick, there's no way he's sitting in the sukkah. It's already, it's, or whatever, in theory. Says Reuven Margolis, yes, there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to build, became the kind of second mitzvah, became the first mitzvah. But the few Rabbi Yashiv is saying, my friends, it's not going to be true. Because the home, this that we're calling a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah of hechsher. It's a mitzvah of hechsher. The Torah says, make for yourself the ability to sit in a sukkah. It's still a hechsher mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah of hechsher. So it's connected. So the person only built a sukkah and never sat in it. Was he mekayim anything? No. Mimela, I understand why their Bavli doesn't have a bracha on building a sukkah. Why not? It's a mitzvah, because it's not a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai. It's not the hashlamas mitzvah. Hashlamas is only when you sit in it. Do you make a bracha when you sit in the sukkah?
Yeah. It's only one mitzvah.
What?
It's one big mitzvah.
It's two mitzvahs. The Torah is telling you to do the hechsher, and the Torah is telling you to sit in it. So I'll explain to you what the nafkamina is. Let's go back for a second. Mekayim mitzvahs lulav. Do you need to pluck the lulav off of the tree, or can you mekayim the mitzvah while it's on the tree? It needs to take off the tree. The lulav, the hadas, the arava, that's all hechsher mitzvah. So you also have to do that, but the Torah didn't tell you to do that. That, you got to figure that out on your own. Over here, this, the Torah is making a tzivoy, it's ki'ilu, instructing you to do it. What's the nafkamina? Says Rabbi Yosha, the nafkamina is as follows. You saw the Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin. The Gemara says, mitzvah boy, yoyser mi bishluchai. Person should rather do a mitzvah himself than al yidei shliach. What about a hechsher mitzvah? What about doing a hechsher mitzvah? What? So, do you have to go pluck your lulav off of the tree yourself? mitzvah boy, yoser mi b'shulcha. Do you have to go pick out your own lulav? Or can you send the shliach? We only found in halacha two places where it speaks about mitzvah boy, yoser mi b'shulcha, by what appears to be a hachshar mitzvah. Building your own sukkah, and also preparing for Shabbos. Yehodrav safra machrich resha, rava malach shibuta. Why? Because these two hechsher mitzvahs, the Torah wrote about. So the Torah ki'ilu made the hechsher mitzvah into a mitzvah. So therefore, it has a klal of mitzvah by mitzvah b'shluchai. But another hechsher mitzvah, not. So in a chanami, you're going to have to, someone has to pluck the lulav off of the tree. But it doesn't have to be me. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah itself. Someone has to fill the mikvah with water. Someone has to do anything that's going to facilitate a mitzvah. But over here, the Torah instructed you to do it. Chagas sukkas ta'aseh lecha. You build your sukkah. Therefore, you can do it on a shliach, but mitzvah be'yosim b'shluchai. So we get back to what Yosef Tzvi asked, whether, you know, people going away to Pesach to sukkas programs. So they are not being mekayim this mitzvah. I wouldn't call it a bittel mitzvah because it's only a hechsher. And if the hechsher is here already, you don't have to. Let's say everyone has a sukkah, you have to build another one. What?
You're still sitting in a sukkah.
So you're still sitting in a sukkah, so you're
mekayim
that mitzvah.
Yeah, but
you're not going to. You're mekayim more of a mitzvah if you build it.
But if I'm saying that you'll level up because the Torah said that you should build it.
True, you should.
You're being mevatel enough.
But you're not being mevatel the essay because the Torah just says make a hechsher. But if you have the hechsher already, you have the hechsher. In other words, if I have a sukkah here, so I don't have to build another sukkah because I already have the hechsher. So it says, you make the hechsher. It's made already. So it's there. But you are losing out on it. So I would suggest anyone that's going to a sukkahs program to ask them to assist move some of the schach. And you'll be mekayim the mitzvah. You might have to passel the sukkah in order to make your kosher. I don't know. Or be a part of the make the hechsher sukkah. Or in your house when you're building a sukkah. I know that my Rosh Hashiva or Meir Stern builds his own sukkah. He used to. Does he still?
From Rashi's Rosh Hashiva.
You should be, yeah, it's a Siyas Mitzvah.
Rashi says that if you find ready chopped wood, right. You don't need to chop.
You don't have to chop, but you need to build.
If you find a ready built sukkah, you should really build another one.
Oh, that I don't know. No, I'm not sure. You have to build it.
The flip.
No,
if you find ready chopped wood, you don't need to chop it. Meaning, but if you find the sukkah.
Because there, the wood is
if you're building a sukkah and kill somebody as you're building a sukkah, then it's going to be that you're Siyas Mitzvah that you're doing.
Right, correct.
Because like you're saying.
Right, that's true. But if you already have another sukkah, so you already have a hechsher. You have a hechsher. You're going to build another sukkah, what for? Just in order to have another sukkah? I'm not sure.
Second sukkah and you kill somebody while you're building your second sukkah?
You, what are you doing? What are you building another sukkah for?
Why is it not a rishus?
What? No, if you don't have a sukkah, you have a mitzvah to build a sukkah. Then there's a hechsher building the sukkah. The chopping the wood is not a mitzvah at all. There's no Indian of chopping wood. But in the building of your sukkah, but if you have one sukkah ready, I don't know. We could discuss this. But I'm not so sure that you already have a hechsher. There's a sukkah here. I want to build another sukkah so I can make the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to make the hechsher. I have the hechsher ready.
Okay, so the first one also. If I would have another sukkah, then I wouldn't have to build the first one.
I
have a sukkah. I didn't build it, but I have a sukkah and I want to build the second one.
But let's get it clear. When I'm building the sukkah, am I doing a mitzvah?
Yes.
But when I'm chopping the wood, I'm not. Because I don't need to chop wood in order to have a sukkah.
Building a second sukkah, is it a mitzvah?
No.
Why not?
Because I already have a sukkah.
For someone else.
I already have a sukkah.
I'm building a second one to sukkah.
Okay, if you're building a second sukkah because somehow...
I'm going to use both of them.
Okay, then maybe an achanami. Then that could be. But there's no mitzvah to build it. You don't have a chiyuv to build another sukkah.
You don't have a chiyuv to build a sukkah. That's what?
What
so the point is that we don't have a chiyuv to build a sukkah. If you find a sukkah that's ready made, you're all good.
You weren't mekayim the mitzvah.
Yeah, but you don't have a chiyuv
right.
to be mekayim the
right.
mitzvah.
I don't know that you do. I don't know. The Torah is telling you to make a hechsher. I have a hechsher ready. Torah, it's not. It's in order to have the hechsher. I have the hechsher ready. I don't know if you're mechuyev to do that. If you, I don't know if there's a mitzvah to do that. If you knock it down, then you have a mitzvah to build another one. You will.
What? You just move the schach and that's building.
That's also building. Yeah, but I'm saying even that you don't have to do. Even that you don't have to do. You have the sukkah ready. Sukkah's here. Were you not mekayim mitzvah? Yes, you weren't mekayim mitzvah. But I have the sukkah. And now the Torah's not telling me to do anything. The Torah's saying you make a hechsher. I have a hechsher. Okay. So.
Rebbe's saying this in the Hamik Shalom, or Rebbe's saying this even in Shiltas and Rashi as well?
Yeah, and everything.
Everything.
Yeah. We could discuss it. But this is what Rabbi Yashiv says, that this is that the din of building a sukkah is a mitzvah, that the mitzvah is a hechsher. So it's not a regular mitzvah. So if you're Rabbi Yashiv, l'chayru, come out, not like what we were saying from Reuven Margolis. He was saying, build a sukkah, it's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. It sounds like he's saying, there's a mitzvah standalone, even if you're not going to sleep in the sukkah, just build it. Rabbi Yashiv is teaching it. His lashon is, hachono kazu sheksuva bekra. The mitzvah is a hachana. It's just a hachana. But what's the hachana if you're not if you're not gonna, if you know you're not gonna fear ois? The hachana is nothing. That's why the Bavli doesn't make a bracha for that reason. Okay. So we start off with the mitzvah of binyan sukkah. The Gemara says sukkah shigavoy la ma'ila me'esrim ama psula. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. The Ran is medayik lashon of sukkah shigavoya lemaila me esrim amo. What does it say? Sukkah shigavoya esrim amo. Gavoya me esrim amo. Gavoya lemaila me esrim amo. It's gavoya. It should say sukkah shigavoya me esrim amo. It's gavoya me esrim amo. It's higher than 20 amos. Says the Ran. Which part has to be above 20? Here's your wall. And here is your schach. When we say 20, are we saying 20, you're going to count your 20 from here? And if you hit over 20 your puzzle, you're going to count your 20 from here.
I mean, it depends which svar you're using.
It might depend which svar you're using, but we're going to start with the Deek and the Mishnah. Okay, it might depend on which svar you're using. Sukkah shigavaya lemaila meseram, it says the Ran. Sukkah is the schach. The schach has to be above 20, which means you have to hit 20 here. Even if your schach is above 20, you're kosher. If up here is above 20, you're okay. As long as it starts within 20. It's only possible if a sukkah is gavaya lemaila me'asrim amos. If it's high above 20 amos, it's possible. This is not gavaya lemaila me'asrim amos. And he brings a gemara. The gemara is in Eruvin. The gemara of Eruvin says the following idea. Chalal sukkah tnan. Chalal sukkah, the word chalal means airspace or emptiness. When it says chalal sukkah tnan, Gemara means to say that when we're discussing the emptiness. So sukkah shigavoy lamailam esrim amo. So what has to be esrim amo? The emptiness has to be esrim amo. If you're telling me that over here is 21, but over here is 19, even though my schach is above 20, but my emptiness is only 19 amas. So if my emptiness is 19, I'm okay. Sukkah shigavoy lemaila me'asrim amo means that the emptiness is above 20, or 20 or over. So technically, can my sukkah, can it tower above 20 amas? Yes, as long as the halal of the sukkah is not more than 20 amas. The thickness of the schach could be more than 20. And this is something that we have to see, because the Gemara gives numerous reasons for this psula of the Ma'alim Yisrael, which Yitzchak mentions. Gemara brings three different reasons. One reason the Gemara brings is Laman Yeidu Doir Seichem. You have to be able to see your schach. The other one is Tzel. Third one is Sukkah Diras Kfa Diras Arei. Bez Hashem Bli Neder, Siyata Deshmai. We're going to try to continue with some of these ideas. I'm really trying to. We discussed in the Shekhla a little Chamsim Mitzilsa. I'll try to do a little bit more of that maybe. And then slowly we're going to get into the Inyanim, Bez Hashem. And hopefully we'll be able to live in our Sukkah. Have a great day, everybody. Want to take that?